Abandoning the Game, Yet Keeping in Play, written by Z. Charnot, June the 5th, 1988. A human being is part of the whole, called by us universe, a part limited in time and in space. He experiences himself, his thoughts and his feelings as something separated from the rest, a kind of optical delusion of his consciousness. This delusion is a kind of prison for us, restricting us to our personal desires and to affection for a few persons nearest to us. Our task, should we choose to accept it, must be to free ourselves from this prison by widening our circle of compassion to embrace all living creatures and the whole of nature in its beauty. The human species uses its freedoms and powers to limit itself. This limiting or bounding of self is the foundation of game theory and the disciplines we call creative, musical composition, art in its various forms. The question underlying both games and the creative disciplines is, what set of rules or limits can be explored with some rigor? How many rules or bounds can I assemble or associate with what effect? Then we ask, what strengths and mobilities can I generate in interplay with these obstructions? We are creators, being created. Every life form explores an interplay with its environment, the strengths and the mobilities it can generate against the limits, bounds, or obstructions of that environment. Then it changes the environment, changes itself, or both. It adapts, it evolves. Each cell reproduces with every shifting orientation, adapting, gaining strengths and mobilities, differentiating. Some of us enter into the play and interplay more extensively than others, with greater involvement. We submit more of what we are or have to the exploration. By that means, we generate an awareness of more possibilities, more alternatives, more options. We become strategists at master play. Some people submit very little of what they are or what they have to the exploration. It was a principle taught by Jesus in the form of the parable of the talents. Talents were a quantity of gold. To some were given one, to some five, to some ten. Those who invested in the interplay and exploration, all they had and all they were, made gains. The one who simply kept and preserved what he had and returned it was rebuked. Two statements make the principle clear. One, to he that hath much, more shall be given. To he that hath little, even the little he hath shall be taken away. And two, the prodigal son that spent it all, that used all that he had received and all that he was in his exploration, was welcomed home and was well received. There is a condition associated with the first principle. He that had much had to use it, had to put it to work on his exploration and interplay in order to be one to whom much more was to be given. This contrasts greed and wealth. We are rightly repulsed by greed and attracted by wealth. Greed hoards and highly conditions the interplay of what it has. Wealth is generous and submits all it has to the exploration, to the generating of possibilities. This also contrasts fear and trust. What happens when we fear? What do we believe about the universe, about life? when we fear. We believe we must conserve what we have and condition our exchanges and interplay in order to get more. We regard what we are and what we have as ours without realizing we don't even know what we did in order to have life itself. We don't notice how freely and easily we have been upheld and supported by patterns and energies that have surrounded us and nourished us lifelong. Greed, fears, wealth, trusts. We are wealthy. We are trusting. Some people see it as generosity. Generosity is trust, operating to generate wealth. The abundance of flow, the participation in that abundant flow, generates wealth. It is the economic principle of greed, not wealth, that stifles civilization. Fear attracts its violent failure. Greed depends upon having and conditioning access to all it has as the method of gain. Greed must bound and define itself and its property. Wealth situates in the midst of easy and abundant flow. Wealth generates relationships, networks, webs of exchange, connection, and flow. Greed accrues, accumulates, stores and hoards, and attempts to influence society to legislate property rights and ownership by lawmaking and lawkeeping, as well as by culture as class. There are politicians that serve those interested in having and gaining by having, the establishment and the enforcement of property rights and ownership, having and greed. There are statesmen that serve those who want to explore and create, to allow the flow and to trust life and evolving patterns that yield to change as an adaptation to a shifting environment. It finally comes to the view of self and the reality in which the self functions and thrives. There are opened and closed spirals. If we experience a diminished supply and respond by believing we must condition what flows from us and define what is ours more emphatically, our belief enforces the definition of self and the conditions and rules of exchange with the defined self. This even exhibits itself in the greed of the poor, locked into a pattern of totally conditioned exchanges. They condition access to the effort and skill with strikes and labor unions and the pursuit of. This is the greed of the poor. A society which embodies a culture of highly conditioned exchange, highly bounds and defines the flow to and the flow from the individual members of that society. It audits and accounts. It representationally duplicates and replicates every exchange in terms of the benefit to the individual. The future of such a society is extinction. This statement is not a curse. It is an observation. The human species uses its freedoms and powers to limit itself. This limiting or bounding of self is the foundation of game theory and the disciplines we call creative. What set of rules or constraints can I explore with rigor? A composer of music begins to accumulate rules which create a pattern of sound and of silence. The harmonic structure is the point of beginning. What notes or tones constitute the scale? How many are there in an octave? Any artist makes the same kind of selection and the same kind of exploration. Please proceed to part 2.